I'm kind of like my grandfather. My grandfather was a preacher, and I heard him preach all through the years, and he repeated a lot of stories. And you would tell him, hey, Papa, you've already told that story. He says, I don't care. I like it. So, hey, I'm going to be like him. I may have told this story before. Some of you may have already heard it, but I like it. And I brought Mike with me, so Mike wants me to share it. So, anyway, when my son Drew, who isn't here this morning, he couldn't get off of work. By the way, Dawson is here. He's going to CFNI starting tomorrow in worship ministry. And very proud of him. He's written a lot of worship songs. And he is a mighty man of God. And he knows exactly who he is in Christ. And ain't nobody going to change his mind about that. Because God has been real to him. Our other son, he loves God too with all of his heart. And this past semester at East Tennessee State University, he made the dean's list for setting a building on fire. No, just kidding. He made the dean's list for making he made all A's and one B maybe. It was awesome. Compared to his first year of school, that was awesome. But his first year of school, honestly, he learned how to play ping pong real good and learned how to play pool. He excelled in all of that. Really did. But anyway, back to the story I wanted to tell you about Drew. When Drew was a little boy, about 4 years old, it started to rain. Hey, that's the glory of the God coming down. That's His glory coming down like rain. Yes, I feel His glory here because He is here. So when Drew was a little boy, about 4 years old, we were driving over the Mississippi River Bridge, and he looked out onto the land. He said, hey, Dad. I said, yes, son. He said, how is the earth round and the ground flat? So I slapped him. No, I wanted to. I mean, hey, don't judge me. I mean, because that's a good question, Drew. You know what? There's just some things you're too young to understand at your age, was what I wanted to tell him. But what I told him was, I said, if you take a big, huge beach ball, huge one, and you take a little bitty tiny ant and put on that beach ball, to that ant, the ball looks flat because it's his perspective. It's his point of view. And today I want to talk to you about perspectives on how you relate to God and how God relates to you. Let me read you some of these quotes that I copied from the internet. One of them is from Alphonse Kerr. He says, we can complain because rose bushes have thorns or rejoice because thorns have roses. That's pretty good. Here's one of my favorites because I kind of like dry humor. I don't know if you know that about me. But this is by Stephen Wright, and all of his humor is very dry. He says, everywhere is walking distance if you have the time. See, some of y'all get that tomorrow, but that's fine. George Bernard Shaw said, progress is impossible without change. And those who cannot change their mind cannot change anything. You know, one of the first words that Jesus preached was a word called metanoia, which is a word that we know as repent. And that word simply means to change the way you think, to think on a higher level. And to quote someone that has preached in this church, how many of y'all know Marvin Gorman, who he was? That man could preach. He was a very good preacher. He was my pastor for many years, and he performed me Indiana's wedding ceremony. And he tied that knot tight. I know. Not that I tried to untie it. But he says, and if Pastor Marvin Gorman said it, there's got to be some weight to it. But he says, repentance is a lifestyle. a constant changing of your mind of who God is, a constant turning away from the old and walking to the new. You see, if your car, the front end of your car, is out of alignment, you're going to have a bumpy ride, aren't you? And it's going to cause some wear and tear on your tires. You're going to have to replace tires. You're going to have to spend a lot of money. By the way, why can't a bicycle stand on its own? Because it's too tired. But anyway. And getting in at 1:30, I'm not too tired. I'm excited to be here. But anyway. Where was I going? Yeah. So when we have the wrong perspective of who God is in our life, it's going to cause some disappointments. We're going to constantly see people getting blessed, and we're not going to be the ones getting blessed. It's because of our perspectives. Some false perspectives may be, I'm not deserving. I know God loves me, but you fill in the blank. Nothing good ever comes after a but. That's right. So, I fully believe that Jesus didn't come to this earth to live a sinless life so that God would change his mind about us. He came so that we would change our mind about him and who he is. And that's very freeing if you know that. If you could get that as part of your spirit, in your spirit, you're going to do good. And my mission, or my desire, if you will, this morning is to present God in such a way that will cause you to have a new perspective on how God relates to you and how you will relate to him in the future. Let me ask you something. I got to ask a question. What is the first thing that you learn when you meet someone brand new? Their name, that's right. You learn their name. And when you learn the name of Jesus and all what's involved in the name of Jesus, that is one sure way of getting your perspective back into alignment where you're supposed to be and walking towards him. His name will bring alignment. You know, there are some names that causes different reactions. Good, some bad. In one of the greatest Christmas movies in recent times, there's a quote in it that I absolutely love. It's from the movie Elf. And he heard, and Woody the Elf, is his name Woody? Buddy the Elf. Buddy the Elf heard someone say, Santa's going to be here. And he says, Santa, I know him. He was just so excited. That name brings excitement to kids everywhere, including me. Because I've been a good boy. Don't listen to what, pay no attention to the lady over there that I'm married to. Because she lies about her age. What about if I mention this name? IRS. Hey, I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot me. I'm just saying. I bet I can get some booze with this one. LSU Tigers, baby. Go Tigers. Yeah. I'm originally from Louisiana. I did spend time in Arkansas. But if I said Arkansas Razorbacks, I might hear a suey tig suey. See? Amazing. What about the name of your spouse? Does that cause you to still get a little excited? Yeah, good answer. Great answer. That's a man that wants to spend the night off the sofa. Great answer. Wow. So, since we're here to talk about Jesus, let's go ahead and turn in your devices or your Bibles. By the way, I believe in the whole Bible. I believe God's Word is truth. It's true. It cannot be shaken. It cannot be changed. What He says is true. I believe the whole Bible. I even believe the leather is genuine. So, Proverbs 18:10, one of my favorite verses because it shows perspective who God is. And it also shows who we are. And it says, the name, don't you hate it when a preacher will get up and he'll start into a verse and he'll stop after a couple words and he'll just start talking about one word, and go on and on. I just want you to read the verse. So the name, man, that is so good, the name. Let's just stop right there. You know, I did the research, and I can see better when I'm right here. There's people over there too? Wow. The name, you could replace it with the word reputation. So you can actually read the reputation. The reputation of the Lord is, not could be, not maybe, not might, not sometimes, is. Is a definitive word. It's telling you the reputation of the Lord, or the reputation of the one true living God, is a strong tower. That strong tower means a place of power, strength, and might. It says the righteous, us. You do some study on that word righteous. It means those who have been vindicated, proven to be right. You have been proven to be right, and nobody could take that away from you. You are right with God because of His blood and because of the finished work of Christ and what He has done on the cross. And He left all of your sin in the grave, and He rose victorious. So the name or reputation of the true living God is one of power, strength, and might. And those who have been vindicated run swiftly into it, and they are made safe, or they are set secure in a high place. You know, long before any of this was here, long before any of the trees or the hills, long before Arkansas, who my dad says is the greatest state in the nation, was ever created, there was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they were in communion with one another. They enjoyed one another's company. And they said, hey, you know what? I got an idea. Let's create man in our own image and invite them to be in here with us. Because He didn't want heaven. He didn't want to be in heaven without us. That's what He sang this morning. So He brought heaven down to us. We don't have to wait till we die to go to heaven. We can experience heaven on earth. That was never God's intention for us to experience heaven after we die. He wanted us to experience heaven on earth in His new kingdom. And if your perspective is saying that when I get to heaven, that's poor thinking. I'm sorry. That's room to repent and walk toward your destiny. Because the name of the one true living God is one of power, strength, and might. You know, He set us on high. And we were made to sit in heavenly places. Not made like you were made to eat all your beans off your plate or your broccoli. You were created to sit with Him. That's exciting. I'm standing up because I'm excited. I don't know why you're sitting down, but wow. This is fun. This is one of the greatest places on the planet to preach because y'all are fun to preach to. I feel like y'all are just, y'all pull it out of me. And so, the name of the Lord, it's a safe place. It's a very safe place. When we were kids, we played hide-and-go-seek in the night, in the dark, particularly like when our cousins would come over and we could stay outside a little bit later. And sometimes we'd lay down in the shadow of a tree and would almost get stepped on because it'd be so dark. That reminds me that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, a mighty God, in Him will I trust. You could trust His name because He's a safe place. He's like home base. No one can touch you. You can't be it whenever you're on base. And the enemy's going to come tell you things. And you're going to look at him like he has three eyes. And he's going to be confused because you're not going to be moved. Because you know who you are. Your perspective has changed. You're no longer that old person walking this way. But you're over here walking in Him. How do you run into a name? That was my question. How do you run into a name? I mean, you can run into a building. You can run into a wall. But how do you run into a name? It's a good question. I was hoping someone would know. That's good. You can call on His name, but you run into His name by confessing that what He says about His name and what He says about your name. It goes like, Father, I thank You that You're the one true living God. You are a place of power, strength, and might. There is none that can stand before You. There is no enemy too big that You can't defeat. There is no sickness or disease that You cannot heal. There is no pain that is too heavy that You cannot reach down and touch and take that pain away. He is the one true living God. And I thank You that You have vindicated me and called me righteous. Guess what? You just ran into His name. You can run into His name by confessing who He is and who you are in Him. It's good. And all of His promises are yes and amen. You find a promise, it's yes and amen. Yes and amen. That's a hint, if you know that song. All of His promises are yes and amen. And you know, you might want to write this down. Not because I'm saying it. It's because this is what God showed me. And I have it in bold print on my iPad. It says, your perspectives regulate your beliefs. Your perspectives may regulate your beliefs to the bad or to the good. But it's your perspectives that regulate your beliefs. And if you think that God is an angry God and is out to punish you for every little misstep, that is a bad perspective of who God is. Because exactly where is anger found in love? Because God is love. Is love. It doesn't say God loves. Because if it said God loves, He could choose not to love. I love. And sometimes it's real easy to choose not to love. I'm just being honest. I'm up here. You may think I got everything together because I have the microphone. But hey, I'm real just like you guys. just like you guys. I make mistakes, but I know who my Father is. I know He loves me every step of the way. There's a verse in Isaiah 64. I believe it's 64. I tell you what, start reading in Genesis and stop when you find it. Be a good idea. Very good idea. It says, you know the way that God promised not to flood the planet anymore and put a rainbow in the sky? Well, He made a promise in Isaiah that I don't hear very many preachers talking about. It's a promise that He said, I'll never be angry with you again. I'll never punish you again. But what about that verse in Matthew? What about God doesn't contradict Himself? But that verse in Matthew says that God, He chastens you and scourges you. That sounds harsh. Maybe it's the way I'm enunciating. But that word chasten just means correct. It could be that you have something just a little bit off, and then He brings the correction to you. That's not punishment. I'm grateful. Sometimes I get out of line, and I have Deanna in a loving way and say, you know what, da-da-da. It's correction because she loves me. She wants the best for me. And I love that about her. And I love that about God, that He'll correct us. But still the verse in Matthew says that He'll scourge you. That verse is referring back to the Old Testament. A verse in the Old Testament. And in the original verse, it doesn't say anything at all about scourging. So it looks like to me that was added later. God doesn't contradict Himself. And if I'm going to choose to believe anything, I'm going to choose to believe the best that God has. I may be living in a wrong world, but hey, it's wonderful. It is so wonderful. You know, one time when my boys were about 5 and 6 years old, we were leaving Springfield, Missouri, going to be driving here to driving to Hampton and then on back to New Orleans. No sooner than we're pulling onto the on-ramp for the interstate, they are fighting with one another. They are about to have their hands around one another's throats. I pulled over on the road on the on-ramp. I said, that's it. You're out of here. Probably a little bit wrong of me to do that. I said, you see that man over there? That's right. You're going to go live with him because I ain't got to put up with this stuff. And then I went, oh, Lord, what have I done? Because I looked at my wife, Deanna. She's like, you're going to have to follow through now. I'm like, how do I get out of this? I said, okay, maybe you don't have to live with him. But you're going to get back in this car, and I'm taking away your words, and you are not going to talk. You're not going to ask to go to the bathroom. You're not going to tell me you're hungry. You're just going to sit there and hold it, and you can be hungry. Don't judge. I was young. Grr. And all the way from Springfield, Missouri, to just to the edge of Little Rock, those boys, they didn't say anything. I was so proud of them for obeying. And I started feeling bad. I said, okay, you can have your words back. And you know how short the interstate is through Little Rock? You blink and you're through Little Rock. It took him that long to start fighting again. Me taking away words from them was punishment. And I know what you're thinking. I know a story in the Bible that God took someone's words away from him. Why is it punishment? You're saying God doesn't punish us. It's about perspective. Remember Zechariah laughed when he found out his wife was going to have a baby. And he started that trash talking. God took his words away, not as punishment, but for protection, because he was speaking against God's promises. He was doing it to protect him. Well, that's a good answer. What about Jonah? Wish I wouldn't have said that. Got me backed into a corner now. Jonah, yes, he was going the wrong direction. And that's why the storm came, because Jonah, you know, the Bible doesn't actually say that God caused the storm, does it? I don't know. Maybe I opened up that can too soon, but Jonah volunteered and said, this storm is because of me. Throw me overboard. It doesn't sound like it was God's idea for him to be thrown overboard. But then along came that big well. That was his punishment. No. Who could swim that good? He's in the middle of the ocean with sharks. Who could swim that good? No one. That big fish was his protection, his provision for Jonah. You may feel like this morning you're in the belly of a big fish, but you're in the middle of protection and provision. It's your perspective. Don't let the adversary, your enemy, tell you anything different, because you're right in the middle of God's protection and provision. For I already know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans to prosper you and to bless you and to give you a hope and a future. He loves you so very much. There's more stories I could tell. Wait, I may tell one more because I really, really like this. Let's pick on Peter. All the preachers like to pick on Peter. Peter, he's with Jesus at the garden. And the guards are coming to take Jesus away. And Peter says, well, not on my watch. And he takes a sword and pow, chops the ear off of one of the guard servants. And Jesus fist bumps Peter and says, you go, boy. No. He brought correction to Peter and gave healing to the servant. You know, I told the first service that I don't think Peter was aiming for the ear. He was aiming for the head. Wasn't that then really cool if that's the way the story went? That he chopped his head off and Jesus reached down by his hair. You're about to be made whole again. Man, he could have done it. Nothing's impossible for him. He could have done it. I wish he would have done it like that. That would have been such a cool story to tell. Now I have to make it up and believe in my own mind. Get me some wrong perspectives. But God loves you. He really does love you. And I just want to, before I pray for people, because you're going to get healed this morning. You're going to get healed. This morning we had a young lady get healed of back pain. And the thing is, God put it on my heart to do it in a certain way where I didn't even pray. I told her to stand up and turn around and sit back down and your pain's gone. And it was gone. Your perspective of yourself and who He is doesn't change who God is and how He feels about you. I'm going to say it again. Your view of God doesn't change who He is or how He feels about you. Your view of God and how you view Him doesn't change Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He is love, and He loves you. when Elijah was on the mountain, there came a big wind, but God wasn't in the wind. There came a fire, and there came an earthquake, but God wasn't in any of those. Then a still, small voice. Pastor Jerry said the last time I was here a couple of months ago that a lot of people will tell you who you aren't, but God will tell you who you are. You know what God whispered in Elijah's ear? Because maybe if we know what was whispered in God's ear, maybe if we knew, just maybe it could change us. And we could see that different perspective. So you want to know what it said? Too bad it's not written. Sorry to get your hopes up. But I'll tell you what I think was written. I'll tell you what I think he said. I think that God started whispering to him who he was. I love you. You know, I'm really fond of you. You are the man. You are God's man for this hour. I love you. You got this. You got it. Relax, Elijah. You're going to get up from this mountain. You're going to go excel. You're going to go finish the mission. Because he heard that still small voice. And God's always going to whisper to you what how he feels about you. You know, I know that we already prayed for the sick people this morning and people that needed healing. I realize that. But some of you may have had a wrong perspective and didn't think you really deserved a healing and maybe didn't even raise your hand or stand up for healing. But you never ever deserve sickness. You never deserve it. God doesn't put sickness on you so that we'll get closer to him. I would never break Dawson's finger and then be his hero and bring him to the doctor to get his finger fixed so that we can have a better relationship. That makes no sense at all. And if me being earthly know how to give my kids good gifts, how much more does God know how to give gifts to his children? Man, I'm preaching good. I feel it. So what I want to do is I want to find out who needs a healing here this morning? Who needs to be healed? Because I want to see people get healed this morning. Yes, I know there's going to be a lot of hands up. That's good. And yes, you can put your hand down. Before I pray for the sick, yes, I see your hands. Before I pray for the sick, I want to read you the lyrics to one of my favorite songs. The guy that wrote this song sang this song. He's from the UK. No, he's from England. No, he's from Great Britain. He's from one of those places. The doors have opened for him to go into mental facilities where people have depression. There's people that aren't all quite there. They're missing a couple of fries from having a full Happy Meal, if you know what I mean. It's kind of harsh. But he goes into these hospitals and he sings this song. And people start receiving healing. And what it is, it's God's perspective over you and how he feels about you. I told Deanna it would have been a lot easier. The message would have been 7 minutes. It would have been 4 minutes for him to sing the song, 3 minutes for me to do the altar call, and be gone. But I think you needed to hear all of what I just said so that you could hear this and really believe it. How many of you know that God loves you. Yes and amen. Yes. So let me read these lyrics from Godfrey Bertel. I am not disappointed in you. I never have been and I never will be. I'm not embarrassed or confused, thinking you better improve yourself or else I'm done with you. I'm not disappointed in you. I'm not ashamed of you, thinking what a letdown. I'm not frustrated or accusing, bitter or abusive. I am love and I love you. I'm not bored with you. I'm celebrating you. I have set you on a rock, a chip off the old block, at home in this beautiful place. Never doubting you. No need to shout at you. Hey, I think you're amazing, though sometimes a little crazy. How I love to laugh and dance with you. I am not disillusioned with you. I never had any illusions in the first place. I know exactly who you are. I've known you from the start. I am love, and I love you.